Awesome. Thank you guys so much for showing up today. I really appreciate it. And the phrase growth hacking, nobody really knows what it means, right? It's sort of like social selling. You hear it a lot in like the tech space. And when someone says, "Oh, I'm a growth hacker," you're like, "Oh, you probably don't have a job and you're probably doing a bunch of other like weird stuff on the internet." And the truth is, what growth hacking really is scaling relationships, because relationships sell. And if you don't know how to build relationships, you will never build a successful product and you'll never have customers. And if you don't understand how to build relationships, you'll never actually understand how to like create a product that people love. So what I did was I studied a lot about psychology, and how that came about was I used to be a founder, and I also used to be the VP of marketing and head of growth for a number of companies. But when I was getting started, I found a company that failed right out of college, and I joined two startups and both of them failed. And like many people in the startup scene, I had a breakdown. And I was like, why am I even here? I just spent 3 years in the startup world and I've had zero results. Like zero. And I was just talking to my mom and I was like, gosh, like mom, like what am I doing with my life? You know, it's like this moment where you're just like really just trying to figure it out. And I said, okay, you know what? I'm just gonna take this job for a year. I don't care what it is. It's just not gonna be in the startup world. And then see if I want to get back in. So I ended up working as a copywriter for around 10 months. And I got paid about like one-fifth that I was getting paid as a VP of marketing for a startup. And little did I know that copywriting would end up becoming my most valuable skill as I built my community and as I. Oh. Is it. Oh, there we go. And it become my most valuable skill as I built my community. And what ended up happening was is I used that skill in the last year to become a top writer on Quora. I started writing on Quora just this year and had the fastest growing profile. And during that time when I was a copywriter, I was also just staying at home when I wasn't writing copy and just reading books about psychology. So that's how I learned so much about it. And I read around 120 books in just 1 year about psychology and marketing. And I was hoping that this would really benefit my career, you know, like crossing my fingers that getting paid like $10 an hour and reading all these books would do something for me, right? So I saved up enough money to jump into a Facebook marketing software company, and they were the first company to live stream on Facebook. And that was huge. I didn't know anything about live streaming on Facebook. I didn't know all the cool software stuff you could do with the platform. And then I quickly found out. And that really took my career to the next level. And I wouldn't say it was a lucky break, you know, because I went through a number of failures beforehand, even had a breakdown, and then I just happened to jump into the right company. So how did I get here? The reason I'm speaking, I get asked to speak at places is because I created one of the largest online communities of marketers and founders. It has over 12,000 plus people. This is not a community like growthhackers.com or Inbound. This is actually an active community where people only post tactics. And there's not like a case study about Uber, because that case study is not going to help you get your first 100 customers, not going to help you get your first 1,000 customers. And you're not going to hear about Sean Ellis's Dropbox tactic, which has been around for like 5 years, right? This is actually a community where there's new tactics every day on how to get growth for your company. And it's the most, if you want to stay on the cutting edge, it is the best place to be by far. And I was, again, one of the early employees of the company to live stream on Facebook, and that helped build a lot of credibility. And at the time when I was working for them, they actually just took a risk on me. They said, "Hey, you worked for a bunch of startups that failed, and then you worked as a copywriter. We have no idea like what you're trying to do with your life, but you have a lot of skills. You know how to do web dev. You know how to do a lot of technical marketing, and you can write. So we're just going to bring you on contract to see what you can do." And help build their sales funnel. But what I noticed when I was building their sales funnel is that they had around 1,000 customers. And all their customers came from one Facebook group that they had. And I said, this is insane to me. You guys have a Facebook group, and that's where you guys get all your customers. I'd never seen anything like it. And I was just stuck in my mind for so long. And during that time, I tried to start a couple of my own Facebook groups, and both of them failed. And then little did I know, I'd end up building one that generates an insane amount of sales for a couple of the companies that I've worked for. And I'll get into that in just a bit. And in the last 2 years, I've hosted 80 plus events with some of the top founders in tech, including the founder of Zapier, the head of growth for Grammarly. They just raised $110 million, among many others. And through building these relationships and hosting these events, that's how I also built a community. So why do I love Facebook and why do I build my community on Facebook? Well, it's the fastest platform to build your know, like, and trust factor. It's a frictionless sales funnel. And what does that mean? As soon as you're my friend, I can invite you to an event, I can invite you to a group, I can message you, and you'll have to see that message. It's not like email, right? If I send an email to you, I don't even know if it's gonna get delivered to your primary inbox or it's gonna get delivered to, let's say, somewhere, maybe it's your spam folder, right? And if I'm using like MixMax or something else to track it. And at the same time, I just don't know at the end of the day. If I send a message via Facebook, I know if you saw it right there in front of you, and you'll probably see it within the next 2 seconds because people spend close to an hour on Facebook a day. So I said, okay, cool. I'm going to get right in front of where everybody's at on Facebook and see if I can do what this company did that I was working for. And it's such a rare case study because I only know of around 3 or 4 really active Facebook groups. And it sounds surprising, but if you think of the Facebook groups that you're in, you think of like job postings and promotions and people telling you to click this link and go to X place and download whatever it is, and then you never go back. So I decided I'm going to figure this out, reverse engineer the platform, and build this massive community. But first I needed to understand who I want in the community, right? I can't just like build a community of a bunch of people who have a ton of different interests. I said, okay, Josh, you just got to Silicon Valley, and this was about a year and a couple months ago, and I want to meet the best people who are in the VC world as well as head of growth for companies. So I designed my avatar. I was like, these are the people that have these job titles, work for these companies, make this much money, and this is what they do with their daily habits and routines. And some of the people I was able to meet doing this is one, Dennis Yu, who's right there. He is considered like the Facebook ad genius, probably one of the best people in the world at Facebook ads. And he actually runs the Warriors fan page. And then you have George Robutsky, who helped grow Suze, Lyft, and a number of other companies. And they have Sean Shepard, who's top 20 salesperson of 2016. He's also a VC at GrowthX. And you have Hitesh Parsar, who had his company acquired, and he's a VC at GrowthX as well. And one of the reasons I bring up GrowthX is because I use my relationships while I was here to end up becoming the head of growth for a venture capital firm. And when I came here, I didn't have that much money. I had actually just like published a book. And then when I got here, San Francisco is expensive, to put it short, right? So I'm here trying to figure it out, and I'm building relationships so I can make more money. And I was the head of growth at this events company, but that was nice, you know, because it's like a cushy job, but at the same time, I wanted to be where all the big players are at. And I'm gonna tell you how I made that happen. So one is, the first step, you have to optimize your social profiles. Now, sounds super, super simple, but if you look at all your friends' profiles on Facebook, nobody does this. So I said, okay, if I reach out to VC for my Facebook profile, or I reach out to one of the top founders for my profile, what are they going to think of me? And I said, okay, well, use your copywriting skills and use your psychology skills of understanding emotional triggers that you're pulling, so when they view your profile, they're going to think that you're worth connecting to. So when I reach out to VC just through just a Facebook friend request, the ad back rate is around 90%, because they look at this profile and they say, hey, he's speaking at the NASDAQ Entrepreneurial Center, and he has a lot of followers, that's social validation. His posts are about influencers, they're good copy, there's a lot of engagement. He's probably someone that I want to get to know. And if you're not pulling any of those triggers, they're just not going to add you back, right? So some of the triggers that are really obvious that I used when I was here, when I didn't have a picture such as me speaking at the NASDAQ Center, is I had a picture of San Francisco. A VC in San Francisco has an affinity towards the city, right? Anybody that's here right now has an affinity towards the city. If we see a picture of San Francisco in our newsfeed, we'll stop and we'll look at it. So that was one of the early emotional triggers that I was pulling to when I was shooting friend requests out to people. And again, you want to be seen. One of the big things is a helper. So what does this mean? This means that you create your own content. And I'm really big on this because I haven't actually shared anybody else's content on Facebook for like the last 4 years. And the reason for that is if you're not seen as a creator, as a helper, then people who are helpers and creators, such as like VCs, founders, they just don't want to connect with you. They want to make sure that you're producing like your own content and actually generally giving value to people each and every day. And it sounds very hard, and it is hard at first, but if you hone your skills such as copywriting, like I can go onto Facebook and write a post as a status, and maybe it takes me 30 minutes, but I know it's going to get like 200 plus engagements just because I have a background in copywriting. And that's super powerful because then people are going to my profile and they look at me as a helper and I'm telling my story. So one of the big things about social media that most people don't realize is that this is like a platform to tell your story. And if you're not telling your story, nobody will connect with you. And even the bad parts, they think you're helping. So if I talk about my breakdown and the startups that failed, these VCs are like, wow, he's being really honest and people could use this information because nobody's talking about this stuff, right? And reason for that is people are looking to generally connect to other people who have gone through the same experiences. Now, if VCs who have had tons of failed startups and invested in probably some of them invested in 150 plus failed startups, they can relate to this. You know, sometimes they only have one or two wins. And most VC firms don't make a lot of money. As much as we'd like to think that they have a ton of money, it's a very, very hard business to run. So those type of stories really relate to them. So me telling my founder stories and telling you stories of failure actually like helped them connect with me. And one of the things that I was doing while I was building my brand, as well as trying to figure out how to actually generate a community around me, was I said, okay, what are the two things that I need to do to ensure that this happens? One is I need to create a great piece of value every day, whether that's on Quora, LinkedIn, on Facebook. And if you're creating value every day, one of the hardest things to do is also have time to drive traffic to that. Let's say it's a post, right? Maybe it's a blog post you wrote and it takes you 8 hours. And now let's say it's your CEO and says, drive traffic to it now. You're like, I just spent 8 hours on a post. I don't even have time today to drive traffic to it, right? It's either you concentrate on distribution or you concentrate on creating content. And it's, you can't do both. And sort of a myth that you should spend 90% of your time on distribution. Like people say this all the time. That's total BS. Just find a way to growth hack it. If you can growth hack your distribution, you can concentrate 90% to 100% of your time on just creating value for people and be sure that the traffic is driving to your content. So I said, okay, I can create value for people and now it's time to get that value seen. So one of the things that I did was I started using Upwork and I said, you know what, how much would it cost if I just started outsourcing like Chrome extensions that would give me tons of unfair advantages? And what do I mean by this? So this Chrome extension has about 10 different things you could do. And now it has like an Instagram section as well as a Quora section where I can export profiles. I can auto message people at scale. I can auto connect to people at scale as well on all these different platforms. And people look at this and they're like, wow, like you built this, did not build it. I do not know how to write code. I would consider like a good product manager when it comes to Upwork. And this cost me $1,200 to build to get around 10 unfair advantages with social media. And that's crazy, right? Like these are advantages that nobody else has. I just designed this and I put it on a Google slide and I said, this is how I want it to look and this is what I want it to do. And they built it for me. And it wasn't like difficult at all. So now I have this unfair advantage that I outsourced for $1,200 that's gonna turn me into like this social media master because nobody else is doing this, right? It's just me. And I was like, okay, wow, like you have all these advantages, it's time to rock and roll. So one of the things I also realized is because I had all these unfair advantages, it actually expanded my opportunities by 10x because now I can combine it with other tools that can make the tool that I created even more powerful. So you have a tool called Duck Soup, which does a lot of scraping through LinkedIn. And one of the things that people didn't really like about it is that you could go to like each individual profile on LinkedIn and grab the URL and grab data from it, but it wasn't really super helpful until my tool, because now I can upload all those LinkedIn profiles and now auto message and auto connect with them at scale. So if I wanted to actually go to my existing LinkedIn base and find all the customers of a certain product, then I could do that and then I could auto message all of them. So let's say it's 100 customers of MixMax and I'm telling them about an update that we have, right? Now I can take all their profiles, upload it, and I send 100 messages with just like maybe 2 minutes of my time. And I'm developing relationships with hundreds of people. So super, super powerful. I turned a tool that people didn't think was that great into one of the better tools on the internet. And more unfair advantages. So I know of some of the most cutting edge tools because I talked to so many founders and it's just part of running a community. And one of these tools is Grouply. And one of the biggest questions that people had for so long was, how do I get email addresses from Facebook groups? Everybody wants to know this answer, right? Because Facebook emails no longer work. They don't redirect to your regular email. You can't use them as a retargeting audience. And I found out the secret. It was just this strange growth hacker. I don't want to call him strange because he might be watching this, but cool growth hacker. And he had this tool that would just export everybody from a Facebook group, and including their name and their company's name. Now, to most people, they'd be like, this is pretty useless data. To me, I'm like, I know if I have their name and company name, I can get their domain name. So with those three pieces of data, you can now get an email. So now I can go to any Facebook group I want and get all their emails. And it doesn't take me any time whatsoever. So if I want to go poach members from another Facebook group, and let's say it's a Facebook group that's super secretive and you have to pay $100 to get in, there's many of these type of Facebook groups, like membership groups, I can get all their emails and email them to come to my group. So, and nobody else is doing this, right? And Twofer is a tool that gets the domain name from the company name. So, and then it's also the tool that'll also give you the email as well. So if you could just use those two tools, like, people will think you're a growth master. They're like, wow, how did you get a list of 1,000 of our customers? And you're like, well, I just use these two tools. It only took me 10 minutes. And they're like, what? You know, never say that, though. Always pretend like it was really hard, and it'll make it seem like it was worth actually paying you in the first place. So when I first started off and I was trying to grow my group and grow my presence and I wanted to connect with people, I found conferences that they were attending, because conferences often are tied to Facebook groups, such as you have Growth Marketing Conference. And Growth Marketing Conference, I think, costs between $500 and $1,000 a ticket to attend. And these are the top growth marketers in the world, many VCs that go, and some of the best founders. So I want to connect to all these people, right? So at the time, I was using a tool called Mass Planner, and I don't have the tool in my slides purposely because it was shut down, but I'm just telling you guys, you can still like torrent the old version of it. If you just type in torrent Mass Planner, and you can still do this. most people don't know that. And nobody knows that in my group yet too. I haven't even announced it. So what I did is basically that tool exports everybody from a Facebook group, and you can start auto adding those people on Facebook. And once they accept your request, it'll send them a follow-up message. So it removes all my social anxiety of connecting with thousands of some of the best people in growth, as well as some of the top VCs. And one of the VCs I ended up connecting to was Will Bunker, who is the founder of what became Match.com. He was also a VC at GrowthX. And he said, hey man, like, if you could help us at all, it would be with, we're looking for a VP of marketing. And I was like, oh, perfect, I'm looking for a new job. And there we go. And before I know it, I'm the head of growth for a VC firm. And this was coming from like a background of just landing in SF, right? And just trying to figure out how to grow my network through growth hacking. So I also did it with HustleCon and a number of other conferences. So it's really easy just to connect with these people at scale. And boom, before you know it, as long as your network is filled with these people and you know how to provide value, good opportunities will come from it. I mean, if you have 300 conversations that are open for you with head of growth and VCs, like, if a good opportunity doesn't come from it, it means you're sending a really bad follow-up message. That's all it means, right? And what I did to send a good follow-up message was say, hey, like, I know we're in the same Facebook group and we're going to the same conference. What can I help you with, and what projects are you working on? So I didn't even say, this is what I'm doing, right? That's like the worst thing to do. I just said, what can I help you with? And through that, I learned about what they were doing, and I found a ton of opportunities for myself. So create value. One of the coolest things that I learned that still nobody is doing, and it blows my mind that nobody is doing this, is that if you take a Quora post and post it on Facebook, and one that performs really well, it'll perform exceptionally well on Facebook too, right on your profile. So what I did is I started writing on Quora a ton, and that's part of the reason I became a top writer this year, is because I knew if I reposted the content that performed well on that site onto my Facebook profile, it'd perform well. So I was getting twice the benefit from it. And it's this nice like relief knowing that whenever you post on Facebook, that you're gonna get a ton of engagement, right? So it just saved me a ton of headaches, as well as gave me a lot of encouragement to put out more content. So scalable value. This is really cool. So scalable value is like repurposing from Quora, and it's finding out where this information also fits. So I'll take my smaller Quora posts, put them on LinkedIn if they have to do with business, add a photo of me at work, and boom, they perform exceptionally well. And I'll go into like some LinkedIn methodologies as well to like how, what type of content performs really well on LinkedIn. And it's so funny. It's really, really basic, but people tend to overcomplicate it, right? You just find the one or two things that work on Facebook as content and everything else just ignore entirely. And I also started reposting content from events I was doing. So I was interviewing like Jack Smith, who's co-founder of Bungle and Ship. And I'd put that on my Facebook newsfeed. Then I'll tag him. It gets more reach. I get more followers. And if I'm knocking out 80 of these events and connecting with some of the best founders, marketers, and VCs, then I'm getting their network as well to know about me. And I want to just put this on my Facebook profile, put it on LinkedIn, and then put it in the Facebook group as well that I have. And then also I'll chop up the video and start using it for Facebook ads. And I'll talk about that a little later. So reaching out. I love using Autopilot for like any lead nurturing that I'm doing. So while I'm getting leads through this whole process, this is like the best automation stack that you can have. If you're looking to send messages at scale, you can either use the Chrome extension that I have, that's available in the group, or you can just email me. And Sales Navigator, you need that to be able to message people at scale, because otherwise you're gonna get flagged as spam from LinkedIn. And you don't want that to happen, otherwise it's just not good. So finding emails. This is all you need. If you had these three tools and you have a Gmail, you should have like any job you want at this point. Right now, I think I have the coolest job in tech. I'm an evangelist for a company called MixMax, one of the fast growing SaaS companies. Before this job, I was an evangelist for a company called Autopilot. They're also one of the fastest growing SaaS companies. All I do is interview the coolest people in tech, and I run a community, and I talk with the coolest people in tech all day. That is my job. I mean, this is sort of freaky that that became my job, right? And if I had these three tools, I could still make that happen. Because all I'm doing is connecting with people at scale. If you shoot enough cold email out with good copy, you'll develop enough relationships. And I like to say, like, if you don't send 30 cold emails a day, you're not trying hard enough to expand your network. And I really, really believe that. So Clearbit recently upped their emails that you can find at people. And how many people use Clearbit here from like a show of hands? Oh my gosh, Clearbit's like one of the best tools. Like, so you can actually find 100 emails a month, and it gives you emails that 100% deliverable. So if you type in Andrew Chen, Uber, will return his email, and then you can just email him, right? It's that easy if you want to get in touch with some of the best people. And what I thought was so funny, you know, coming out here and learning about scraping and sending emails, is that all the data in the world that you need to get in touch with people is available on the internet for free. Like, you don't have to pay for it. It's just like sitting there, right? If everybody's contact information is out there. And if you want to email 100,000 people over the next, you know, month or two, you can do that. And that's what I did. So Find That Lead is a great tool. I used to have Hunter.io up there. Hunter.io is a scraping tool, would go through LinkedIn, but recently got banned by LinkedIn. Find That Lead is just as good. And they have a prospector tool that if I type in title, and I can put in like city, I can put in the size of the company, and return all those people along with their emails. And just like that, I have maybe 300 head of gross in San Francisco. And then I'll go from city to city to city, right? So reaching out. So you have MixMax is a CRM tool for your Gmail. And what it does is if you want to send 300 to upwards to 500 emails a day from your email account, you can do that. But in order to do that, you need a Google Apps account. You can't send it from a regular Gmail account. Google Apps allows you to send 500 a day. And if you have 12 emails tied to Google Apps accounts, well, you can send a ton of email, right? And that's what I did. So anything that I found that worked, I just 12x'd it. And one of the reasons I did that was growth hacks don't last forever. So the tool Hunter.io, MassPlanner, they all got shut down, right? As soon as you find something that works, you 12x it immediately. If you know it gets you results, like, you don't just go and be like, okay, I'm gonna have another email address, start sending out cold email. If you don't 12x it, you're gonna regret it when it gets shut down. It's just how it works. And there's other people that talk about this a lot, but I try to stress it as much as possible, because this is like what changed my career, was knowing that some of this stuff could get shut down. And because I scraped 100,000 emails from Hunter.io right before it got shut down, it really saved me a ton of pain. And now, because I have so many emails and I built this community, I just use Find That Lead for free, because I know the owner and he loves that I promote his product, but it's the only product that actually scrapes emails at scale now. So traffic. So how do you get people into a Facebook group, right? You can cold email them at scale like I did. And I was just pulling emotional triggers from learning about psychology and copywriting, and what emotional triggers was I pulling? Well, I used city name, and then I said, hey, you were referred by somebody. And if you have a referral, that's like the highest emotional trigger that you can use, especially if it's someone that they, say, have a strong affinity towards. Maybe it's an influencer that they love. So what I would do if I scrape a list of founders from 500 startups, from AngelPath, from Y Combinator, and I did all of them, I would say, here's a mentor from this community. So one of the mentors, one of the higher level influencers in their community, I say, this person's in my community. And they'll be like, oh, this person's in your community. Like, I know who he is. Like, and I respect that person. So they're going to join. And then I would also have several bullet points, increasing social validation, saying, hey, like, these are the moderators of our community. It was a person who's a VC, and a person who has a huge follower base, maybe like 200,000 followers, and another person who runs a very successful company. And just pulling those emotional triggers led to, I would say, some of the best email copy I've ever used. I sent out 100,000 emails, and I probably got around 50 to 100 emails that said, hey, don't ever like send this email again. That's really good, because I also got around 9,000 emails that said, thank you, I've never seen another community like this, right? 9,000 emails like that. And reason for that is I knew that there's this massive gap of people not actually giving tactics. So you have growthhackers.com and you have Inbound, and they don't give any tactical advice. Like, the best post on growthhackers.com, I think over the last 2 weeks, was actually my post. To be honest, like, it was. And that to me is crazy, right? It's so funny how that works. And when I came to Silicon Valley, you know, it's tech mecca of the world, you think that you would find founders and like people giving really tactical advice. And there was none of these people, right? There was no communities like this. And I went to tons of events trying to find where they're giving tactical advice, and I found nothing. I found Andrew Chen, the head of growth for Uber, speaking at an event with a room packed of founders trying to figure out how to get their first 100 customers. And he's talking about how he's scaling from 2 billion to 10 billion, right? It's like totally irrelevant. And I said, man, all these people are just getting tricked to come to these events. And that's really what it is. They're just following these brand names. And to me, this really upset me as a founder who had failed, as someone who was the head of growth for several companies. And I worked really hard to like actually grow companies and find the right tactics. And now we just have tons of events and tons of brand names to distract people. And this just wasn't happening just at events. This was happening at accelerators as well. They'll take someone who's the head of marketing for Pinterest, put them in like 500 startups and say, you're a mentor now, but you weren't here with our first like 600 employees. Like, you came after that, but we still think you know how to help founders get from zero to 100 customers. They don't. It's total BS, right? The people that know how to do that are people like me that have done it before and that are doing it now. If the person's not doing it now and they haven't done it themselves, there's no reason you should ever listen to them. So I wasn't just sending out cold email. I was using Quora traffic. So I posted a lot on Quora in the VC section as well as in the startup section. The only person that's posted more than me in these sections is Jason Lemkin. And I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he runs Saster. It's the biggest SaaS conference in the world. And I just dominated these sections because I had so much tactical advice, and nobody else had any tactical advice, and nobody else had as many stories as I did. I mean, I've worked for a number of startups, and I knew that people could relate to a lot of the failures, and I was really open about the situations where I failed and situations where I won. And at almost every post that really took off, I would just drop a link to my Facebook group, and I'd say, join this Facebook group. Oh, no. And from there, I got a ton of traffic from Quora that was really relevant, so I was posting in relevant sections. Part of the problem with people posting on Quora is they usually go to where they're going to get the most engagement, right? You never want to do that. It's like people who have 200,000 followers, but it's people who are the ages from 15 to 19 that are following them. You're not going to make any money from those people, right? Like, what are you going to sell to them? Like, a community of 12,000 marketers and founders is probably 100x more valuable than a following base of 200,000 followers of teenagers. So when I was growing my community and running all these events, one of the big things was running Facebook ads. I was a head of growth for a company, and I managed growth for them in 5 cities, their events company. And I said, okay, well, let's use some copywriting skills. Let's use some the imagery that I know performs best, and let's start doing it for tech events. And it worked out really, really well. The CPL on this was around $2. So that's cost per lead. And that doesn't sound like great to most people, but if you're getting people who are actually in the interest that I'm targeting, you have to be interested in venture capital, or you have to be a founder. So these are high level people. So if you think a CPL of like a founder or someone that's interested in venture capital as $2, it doesn't sound that bad then. And I also knew ways to auto basically scale my relationships with them using the tool that I built, the Chrome extension from earlier. And what I would do is I'd plug in all their emails into Full Contact, and Full Contact is basically gets a ton of information about people regarding like their LinkedIn profiles, all their social profiles, and work information as well. So once I had all their LinkedIn profiles, I'd upload it to my tool, auto connect to every single one of my leads with a personalized message, and boom, increased retention. And these people would thank me. They're like, wow, you reached out to me after I opted into your landing page. Like, this has never happened before, right? Nobody does that because it's a painful process. Well, my tool for $1,200, that's just one out of the 10 features, right? Did that for me. So reaching out, once I had tons of people going to the Facebook group, what I did is I added them all on LinkedIn. And what did that do for me? Well, you can actually export all your LinkedIn connections to get all their email addresses, right? And they're not work addresses. They're Gmails. They're maybe Yahoos, hopefully not Yahoos, and just Gmails. And this process is a little bit painful, but you could just pay a VA from Upwork to do it for you. So if you have some money, you could pay a VA. Let's say it's, you know, $150 a month. And if you have 10,000 people going to Facebook group, it'll save you from doing this 10,000 times. And before you know it, your LinkedIn connections will explode. So in the last 3 months, I think I went from 3,000 LinkedIn connections to close to 7,000. And then I removed around like 600 people who weren't really relevant. And it allowed me to build a retargeting audience. So this has cost me like no money to do whatsoever. Ton of cold email, running some Facebook ads that were converting really well. And then I built, I outsourced a tool. So again, management, what's really cool today is that Facebook released a survey feature recently. So if you join a Facebook group, it may ask you several questions. It released to all Facebook groups. It was in beta and had been released to several Facebook groups around 6 months ago. So you may have seen it already. But now I can have a VA who doesn't even have to like take their name and plug into LinkedIn and find them based on their profile photo, but can actually just click on their LinkedIn address and go right there and add them for me. Just connect with a personalized message. So engagement, you know, if you're connecting with a ton of people on LinkedIn, you have to be producing good content on LinkedIn and you have to have a good looking profile. So what I did is I analyzed two of the best marketers on LinkedIn who had started from scratch. I didn't go to people who already had a big brand name, right? You're not gonna look at Tony Robbins and say, hey, I'm gonna copy what he does. Like, he could be putting up the worst posts on LinkedIn and they'll still get tons and tons of engagement. Like, he's the last person you wanna copy. Like, find someone who is able to re-engineer the platform, had zero base, and then was able to create a following from scratch, right? So I analyzed what they did, and all they did was post a personal picture of them at work, and it could be an event like this, it could be right at their work desk, it could be a selfie, and people love that stuff on LinkedIn, and then they would put some copy up above about a work win. And sometimes it would start with a failure that led into a work win, and they would make it look like a professional email. So they would start like, hey, LinkedIn friends, and they would end with a professional signature. That stuff works so, so well. And it took me from getting an average of like 3 likes per post all the way up to now I get between like 100 and 300. I mean, the difference is just huge. And nobody does this. It's only like several people that are doing this, and it's not hard at all. And I had a 19-year-old yesterday at an event that I was speaking at. He came up and right after the event, he took a picture of me and him so he could do this exact tactic. So funny. And it's never the people that you think will actually like start taking action, because it is that easy. It's like, take a picture at an event you're at and say, hey, I am learning about like growth hacking, and write a short snippet about it, turn it into a work win, and it's going to get engagement, especially if you're connecting to the right people. And because I was sending so many cold emails, as well as sending the right core traffic, and I was connecting to the right people, I knew they were interested in this type of content. So memorable, what happens when you start building a retargeting audience? So I have people from Facebook ads, and I have people from LinkedIn as well, and I export the connections, I upload it to Facebook, and I can start retargeting them with video. Now, why is video awesome? Because it only costs 1 to 3 cents a view. It's so cheap to stay in front of this audience all day long. So even if there's days where I'd say, you know, I don't want to produce content, I can actually do that now because I know my videos are still going to hit them. And that's awesome because it costs me nothing to run these ads. I spend $2 a day on each one of these. That's it. And if Dennis Yu was actually the proponent of this, he calls it the dollar a day strategy. But because my audience is a little bit big, I spend $4 a day. But again, it's nothing to stay in front of an audience of around 10,000 people who are high-level marketers and high-level founders as well as VCs. So Facebook groups. Facebook groups are super, super hard to run. How you basically run them is you have to produce value every single day, and you have to have strict rules, and you also have to ensure you have the right people in the community. And you have to repurpose content. And if you're doing that, know that the only place that you can repurpose content from is Quora. And why is that? Because chances are only 1% of your Facebook friends actually follow you on Quora. However, a lot of your Facebook friends are also friends with you on LinkedIn. So if you post the same content on Facebook and LinkedIn, they're going to see it twice and think you're just trying to like spam the world, right? I never want people to think that. I want people to always see that, think that I'm posting original content. So by reposting content from Quora, it makes it look that way. And variable rewards, this is huge. So most people tend to just produce like the same type of content in their group. Like here's a job post, here's like some other stuff that people don't want and some other promotional stuff. And it's never about like asking for stuff. Like Facebook groups and communities always about giving. It's like 100% about giving. You never ever ask. And if you are going to ask, you have to give at the same time. And I'll show you how I was able to do that and generate $200,000 in sales from one post. And that's how powerful it is. So people say, they're like, how are you using Facebook for like B2B marketing? You know, it's very unheard of. Most people think of LinkedIn. And I think LinkedIn is an okay platform for B2B marketing, but if you can generate $200,000 from sales from one post on Facebook, it's a much better platform. So must. You want to get people involved in the community. And how do you get people involved in the community? You do giveaways, right? So giveaways also play into variable rewards. So people don't know what's going to come next. If you do a couple of giveaways, they're like, oh, what's the next one going to be? And then you sort of hype them up and you're like, guys, I'm working on this cool Chrome extension. It's going to be released in like 3 weeks. And it keeps people active within the group. And one of the best parts about this is it gets people their first win, their first comment. So as soon as they get invested in the group, they're more likely to actually participate and post their own content. Now, all the content that goes in my group, I approve it before it goes in. This way it ensures there's no spam. And I have blocked around like 400 people that have tried to spam my group. And none of it's actually hit my group because I have to approve all the posts. And then I do like a post, I'm like, hey guys, like if you ever try to post spam, like I will kick you out. And what that does is just shows people like, hey, this is a community where we really care about the content posted. And it sounds a little bit counterintuitive, but the truth is that there are so few Facebook groups that are actually run well. I mean, there's only three that I know of, including my own, that if you do like put this forward, then people will really respect it and remember how valuable it is. So live streaming software, you have Grytics, you have BlueJeans, you have Open Broadcast software. And one of the things I like to do is live stream in my Facebook group like I'm doing right now. So this is really valuable for the community. It enables them to get tons and tons of content and content that's valuable. So I'm teaching them basically exactly what I did to them, right? It's like you're trolling your own community, but they love it. And the reason they love it is because it works and it helps generate them sales and it helps them learn how to connect with people at scale. I teach them how to dominate Quora, how to dominate LinkedIn, and basically how to make sales in B2B marketing through social selling and growth hacking. And Grytics is the only analytics software for Facebook groups. Super, super valuable. Very few people even know it exists. And this way, like if you're working at a company and it's a software company, you can actually say like, these are the engagement numbers in the group. This is how it's growing. And it gives them some idea. Open Broadcast software is really cool because it puts overlays on your videos. And if you're trying to work with a company and do this, then you can slap on their overlays. So when I was an evangelist for Autopilot, I'd put Autopilot logo right on the overlay of my video. And that's what an overlay looks like. And so this is Gerard Adams. He's the founder, past founder of what was Elite Daily. Not the coolest guy in the world. Don't have a lot of respect for him, but he has the sickest overlays. and so if you can copy these type of overlays, you're able to brand a company, then you can actually have a really cool job in tech, right? Like I do. I just produce really good content for a company, and then I brand them on the content I create. It's awesome. So type of content. How do you generate sales from like a community? So I'm basically, you know, some people go through this talk and they're like, you just talked about building your personal brand. I'm like, Well, not really. I basically built this entire personal brand. Like, most of it happened within the period of 6 months. And then I made $200,000 in sales, and I made over $100,000 in sales on a later post as well. And this post right here generated $200,000 in sales. And how did I know that I was actually going to generate money for my company, Autopilot? And they're a marketing automation software company. And I know that the people that love marketing automation are founders, CMOs, VP of marketing, marketing managers, and sometimes VCs, right? So if those people are in my community and they use this software and the software has great product market fit, if I can get 30 of them to switch over from like HubSpot, Marketo, and we get one or two of them are big clients, then you can make a ton of money. And that's what I did. I said, if you want my folder of growth hacks, so giving value at the same time asking them, and I didn't say, I want you to buy my product. I knew my product had great product market fit. I said, go on the free trial and email me a screenshot of you using the product. And I had around 300 to 400 people use the free trial. And then around, I think like 30 to 60 of those people became customers. So just through that, we generated $200,000 in sales. And that's B2B marketing on Facebook. And this is what an overlay looks like. So if you're thinking of overlays for like B2B marketing, it's hosted by Autopilot. So that's me speaking at the Nasdaq Center with Justin Wu. Justin Wu is one of the top growth hackers in Los Angeles. He is considered also maybe one of the top growth hackers in the country. And this allows me to bring a lot of value to the group, as well as content that can be repurposed for a number of ways. So what we do with this content is like we have learning centers, such as HubSpot has learning centers. And then we just fill it with great videos of these talks. And this enables our customers to get the best growth hacks, best tactics of what's going on in the startup world. And they love us for it. So tracking and retention, this is really big. So if you don't know how to drive traffic and you don't know how to like calculate retention, then it's very difficult to grow your community, right? So Mass Planner, what allows you to do is you can export your Facebook group members. You can also export people who follow you on Instagram. Audience does Instagram and also exports your followers on Twitter. And Eventbrite, you can get basically all your leads from Eventbrite, right? So you're just seeing who becomes customers and where do they come from. So when you're building a community and you're trying to find like your fit for a community, it's very important to see like if people are coming back. The biggest number, the most important number for a community is your level of retention. Everything else doesn't really matter. So how many people are coming to event after event? And that means you're building relationships, right? At some point, you want people showing up to these events because they have such a strong relationship with you, rather than the topic's going to be cool. And that's when you know you have a community. And these tools allow you to do it. It's tools that everybody has access to. Math Planner is like $10 a month, and yeah, not expensive at all. So go the extra mile. So one of the things that I love to do is I have a bunch of t-shirts that represent my community. It's called Badass Marketers and Founders. And it's funny because the name is like Badass Marketers and Founders, but people have to take it so seriously because it's the most active online community for marketers and founders, right? So they can't really say anything or hate on it. And it enables me to like peacock a lot, right? So people, when they see the community, they're like, that guy, like, gosh, I can't get rid of him from my newsfeed, but his content is just so good. So funny how it works. And next week, I'm going to LA to meet with 20 community members. So I meet with everybody in my community in person, hopefully at some point. And I'm going to give them all a bunch of t-shirts. And this is great content for the community, showing that I actually care about them, that I'm willing to go the extra mile and meet them in person. And then I share these wins on Facebook. And they look at me as sort of like a hero because I step up every day and I produce great content for that community. No one else does it. And it's funny because even though we have over 12,000 members, if you had to guess like how many members have actually produced tactical content for the group, and this is why tactical content is so rare, there's only been 20 members that have done it. And then if you look at the members that have done it two times, there's only 8 people. And then three times, there's only 3 people. And then 350 times, it's me. So that's why tactical content is so rare, because there's few people that want to wake up and produce that type of value for people every day. But if you're trying to build a community, you're trying to help founders, there's like a bigger purpose at hand. Especially like if you go to the tech mecca of the world and you realize that no one is doing it here, and you know there's a problem that needs to be solved. It wasn't hard to find product market fit because I just met tons of founders who were talking about similar problems. They're like, hey, I don't know why I showed up to this event to learn from some guy that's talking about scaling from 1 million to 10 million ARR when I'm just trying to get my first 100 customers. And this is a big problem in Silicon Valley. It's a big problem elsewhere. People concentrate on a lot of brand names. And the way to basically remove this problem is to build relationships at scale. So people show up to events not because of the brand names, but because they know they're going to learn tactics. So if I meet a growth hacker, and let's say it's a growth hacker that's not really well known, and a growth hacker that I know that's not well known, his name's Hanson So, one of the best SEO growth hackers I know, but nobody else knows that, I can have him speak at an event and get tons of people to show up because they know there's going to be tactical advice, because that's what we built our whole community on. And that's why the community has grown so fast. And it looks like in the next 6 months, it's probably going to grow by another 20,000 people. And it's funny because, you know, tech and entrepreneurship has been around for so long, but there's just this massive gaping hole of no tactics being given. And someone just needed to do it, right? So interesting how that works. So one of the biggest things that I try to like tell people is never sell, find fit. And if I just tried to concentrate on my follower numbers and get tons of people in that Facebook group, it would have never helped me. But I knew that the people I cared about the most were founders or marketers or venture capitalists. And those are the people that I could generally help and wake up every day to help, right? So I got them into the community, and when I had to, like, I would say sell them, it wasn't really selling. I was saying, here's all this value that I know will generally help you. I know Autopilot has great product market fit. I believe it's better than Marketo. I believe it's better than HubSpot. And I think I'm doing good for you. And I just want you to try out the free trial, and in turn, you'll get all this stuff, right? That is finding fit. It's not selling. So the result is you get to meet some of the coolest people in the world, right? My job is to probably meet with 10 different founders a week, along with maybe like 5 different head of growth. And it's because I can help them, and they're looking for help because the only place that they can get it right now is my community. Now, that sounds sort of strange because this internet's like this big place and you'd imagine there'd be tactics elsewhere, but it's simply not true. And again, you have the growthhackers.com, you have the HubSpot and the inbound, but none of it has tactical advice. It just has these case studies of like how Snapchat grew, right? Super unhelpful content. And it's going to tell you to do a bunch of stuff that totally doesn't work today. And it's funny because, you know, some of the best stuff that they're totally missing out on is just send 30 cold emails a day, right? If you're not sending 30 cold emails a day, then you're not trying to build enough relationships. And learn copywriting, right? Copywriting cold email, and you'll be better off than 99% of marketers. But no one's going to tell you that, right? I'm going to tell you that. And if you can learn one thing from here is, you know, don't sell, find fit, send 30 cold emails a day, and your life will be much, much better. So one of the coolest like things that I realized is that you don't have to like anybody's posts on social media. So you may go scroll through your Facebook and like people's posts, but you're not building relationships. Relationships are built through conversation, right? I never like anybody's posts because I am trying to avidly build relationships at scale. I only message people. So imagine if you have 100 likes on your posts and this guy's like, I hope he notices my like, right? It's not true. It happens all the time. And it's total BS. Just message people. It will save you so much time. And if you're not comfortable with messaging people, just do it the way I did it, which was automate the process. And start, it's like an opener for you, right? And then all of a sudden they're responding. You're like, hey, I have to respond to this now. And none of us are like born super social. We learn to be social. And sometimes you can use a tool to make yourself social, right? So stop liking stuff, start messaging people, because liking stuff will never help you sell anything. Only messaging and building relationships will. So if you guys want to get in touch with me, these are my social channels. My email is josh@joshfechter.com. So that's F-E-C-H-T-E-R. I do have a complicated last name. So yeah, feel free to message me. I will get in touch with you. I respond to every single message, every single email. And I mean that. So yeah, thank you guys.